Welcome to Ben Navarez Podcast with your host, Ben Navarez.
Howdy, hi, and good morning. Welcome back to the podcast. And thank you guys for yet again tuning in, you beautiful human beings. Thank the Lord you guys are still here with us and continuing to grow as we continue to grow. And so I greatly appreciate you guys taking time out of your day. And our job here is to continue to give you guys value, right? How can we learn? How can we continue to grow? And then at the same time, just enjoy some good conversation with some people who have lived some stuff, right? And so I have the opportunity to live to have a conversation with a guy who's definitely lived through some stuff. And so I am excited to introduce Mr. Michael Allison. And Michael, thank you for joining us today. He is a combat veteran, a Purple Heart combat veteran who has survived a lot of trauma in his life, I am sure. And I'm excited and also sorry to hear about it at the same time. Michael is also the host of the Overcoming Adversity podcast. And so make sure you guys go check it out. I got to check out a couple episodes and really thoroughly enjoyed them. From someone who has so much life experience, you are bound to learn something. And now he is also coaching, right? So we got a whole new perspective. He is in the business world working for corporate events or corporate companies, it seems like, in the corporate space. And then he's also a motivational keynote speaker. So I'm ready to be motivated, you know, ready to get started with the day, or in the middle of the day, whatever this is for, whenever you're listening to this. And he was recently on TEDx. He's been on TEDx, I think twice now. And he's been featured over on lots of different platforms. And so, I'll put his link in the bio so you guys can read, cause I don't want to just read his bio all the way throughout. But at the end of the day, a very amazing human being that we have with us today. And I'm excited to continue to hear more and ultimately learn a little bit more about your story, Michael. So thanks for joining us today, sir.
Hey, Ben, thank you so much, brother, for having me here, man. Thank you for that wonderful intro. When I hear you say some of those things, man, you know, as Marines, we usually don't talk about ourselves a lot and all those different types of things, man. So to hear like some things that I've accomplished, obviously done with a lot of support and help too as well, man. So appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Of course. And it's important for, I think, for a lot of people to understand how to take compliments. You know, I don't think all of us are very good at that, especially those who have seen a lot of success in their lives. They tend to end up, for whatever reason, kind of, you know, trying to put them off a little bit. It's like, well, I haven't done enough, or I'm not there yet. But in reality, you've already been so successful in your life, and the people that you've probably been around, not only have you learned from, but you've also been able to impact. And so that's really the goal, right? Like, how can we continue to make our community a better place? And part of that is listening to our community and understanding what they are needing, but at the same time, you know, giving ourselves some love and learning from them and giving them love and, you know, educating as many people as we can.
Definitely, man. When I had a chance to talk with Colin Powell, I remember just being in his presence and having that conversation. My key takeaway from that was just to continue to empower people, inspire people, man.
And you're currently doing that, right? And so what does that look like? One day to day, but then also like meeting up to those like bigger events, like a TEDx speak, or these other speaking events like you have coming up here in Vegas in March. Like, what does that look like? What does it entail?
Yeah, man. What does it entail? So the speaking aspects of things for me is, you know, I've worked with a coach, Anthony Trucks, and I looked up to him in regards to what he's doing in the speaking space, and to find that our stories are somewhat similar, I guess you want to say, once he, you know, got out of the NFL around like marriage and relationships and things like that. So I connected with him and understand how to really put together my story, because I've had a story. I've been speaking before, but the way to tell it correctly through a framework where it's conceptualized and understood by an audience where they could have key takeaways and do some actionable things to help change their lives was what I was missing from that. So from that coaching with him, I've been able to now package my story and get ready to tell that on stage, man. So I have 6 different keynotes. The main one that I talk about is breaking the bottle. And it's pretty much some of the things that I've bottled up throughout my life, throughout my career. And it held me back with a lot of things that I wanted to accomplish, but I was stuck through limiting beliefs. I was stuck through some imposter syndrome, and I could never get past that hurdle. So that's what I talk about within that particular speech there. When it comes to the business aspects of things, we have the Personal Development Accelerator Program. And that's where it's the 90-day program, 12 weeks program, and it's broken up through my framework of decision, direction, and destination, and trying to get you gain clarity, have you get aligned with yourself, and get you through some of the barriers that's holding you back within the program. So we're going to tackle some things that's going to challenge you, that's going to push you. But I guarantee you, once you get through these particular phases of life, and understanding some more things about you and understand what's holding you back, you'll see the transformation within yourself, man. So that's the 2 key components of mostly everything that I do. We have a business development program that we're getting ready to release that's coming soon. And we have a veterans program that we're going to be releasing as well, too. And in addition to that, though, you know, so from time to time, I do get consulting clients. I do get some coaching clients that's in the executive level. Some of the your C-suite administrative type of guys and things like that, that do need that one-on-one coaching, because I personally believe that business development and personal development do tie in together, as that's something that affected me as well. You can't really separate them.
If you in your personal life are not developed, it's going to bleed into your business. No doubt about it. But it's not even like, if I'm not taking care of me, then my family's going to feel that, you know, my wife or my kids. And if I'm not taking care of how I'm going to continue to improve my life, then everyone around me is going to feel the effects of that.
I agree, man. You know, once I became an adult, you know, I got into the military, and I vastly learned a lot around accountability, responsibility. But once I transitioned out of the military, I was fairly still young, in my mid-20s, right? But in regards to like other responsibilities of real life, I've never really had that experience, right? So I've never paid a mortgage. I've never really paid a car note. I've never handled credit. I've never handled debt. I never had a real job where like, yeah, you go, you leave, you come home, you do your own thing, what you wanted to do, opposed to like in the military, everything is structured. Everything is there for you. You know when to go to bed, you know when to go to sleep, you know when to show up, you know what the work you're doing, SOPs, procedures, and all those things are in place. So when I got out, I struggled. And I quickly learned that I don't really have all these things all together. So I worked on a railroad for a couple of years, and I did that fairly well. But I neglected my mental health, right? So I did not go to a VA hospital for close to 7 years. And I was just working. And the last year that I was there on the railroad, I got called in the middle of the night around 2 a.m. And the dispatcher said, hey, you have a suicide. So I go show up, talk to my employees, see if they're okay, get them off the train. We get them a taxi to take them back home. And I'm there with the coroner filling out police reports and all these other things and all that. I see a dead body. Body's cut in half. They're putting them in the body bag and all those things. That immediately brought me back to Iraq, when having to put my best friend in a body bag. And going through that experience and seeing that, all of a sudden, all of those emotions, all those things that I've been covering up, bottling up for like close to 10 years of my life, just immediately came back up, man. And from there, I just went in a spiral. And that affected me with my wife at the time. That affected me on the job. And I had to eventually leave that job, man. It spiraled to the point that I got a divorce, got a DUI, and dealt with a whole bunch of things at that particular moment in my life. You know, I eventually got through those things, fixed some of those errors in my life. But definitely, man, that's when like my personal life was affecting my career to the point of me leaving that job.
Damn. That kind of, I'm going to call it a callback. Usually they call it a callback in comedy, right? Or in speaking, that kind of a reflection or a callback to an experience that I cannot imagine it's hard. Like, I don't know that I could ever put myself in that shoe, you know? Like, I can have an idea. Like, I can maybe, like, pretend to picture it. But in all reality, and you don't know until you experience it. Like, there's, like, and then for it to send you on a loop unfortunately makes a little bit of sense. It's like, and I didn't deal with this thing, and finally there was one thing that sent me over, and now I'm almost lost, you know? Like, it's wild what our past, not solving some issues that are in our past or that are in our life, how they will snowball so aggressively without us really knowing that they're there.
Yeah, man, you hit it right on the head, man. Like I said, that's why I called my speech Breaking the Bottle, because I bottled so many things in that I never wanted to deal with or face. And in addition to that, you know, you got to think about it. So I just got out of the military. What does the Marine Corps or military teach you to be some of the toughest, baddest MFers on this planet, right? And we don't cower to anything or anything. We don't ask for help or any of those things. You know what I mean? So mental health, I don't need help. And if I did tell my job that I had mental health problems or issues, I'd probably get fired, or I wouldn't even got that job. So then what do I look like going to a doctor, getting help or any of these things? So I never talked about those things to the point of, you probably just know that I served in the Marine Corps and that was it. But you didn't really know what I did, what I saw, or any of my experiences. And that person jumping in the front of the train triggered that. And after that, man, it just spiraled, brother.
God damn. Well, what did you do in the military?
So I was an amphibious assault section leader. So if you ever see the tanks that operate in land and water, and then they carry the infantry on the inside. So as a section leader, I'm up in the turret where there's a 50 cal and a Mark 19 and some phosphorus grenades. And then I have a driver, and usually there's a lieutenant or probably one of their gunnies or somebody like in the other side that's helped navigating with us too as well. Crews are in the back. And then I have an assistant that sits in the back as well too with the troops. So my assistant back then was Lance Corporal Castanelli. And in addition to his duties of things that he's doing in the back, if we ever got into a firefight, he's the one that's helping me loading like ammunition and giving me different types of things, assist me if we get into the thick of things as well.
How long were you over in Iraq?
I was in Iraq for 1 year in 2004, not close to a whole year, but in 2004, we started everything around January, and we didn't get back close to, I think it was October, we got back.
It's a hell of a long time to see a lot of shit.
Yeah, man. I never forget it. You know, we was training in 29 Palms. You're probably familiar with 29 Palms. When I was out there in Camp Pendleton, then Captain Venning came out to us and told us it was our turn to go. And I actually knew that I was going to go to war, because when 9/11 hit, I was in North Carolina, and I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we're going to go to war. So fast forward, man, Captain Venning told us it was our turn to go, and we started like training and ramping up, preparing for every single simulation of what war and combat would look like in Iraq. And we did that. Left from Cali, Seattle, from Seattle to Canada, from Canada to Germany, from Germany to Kuwait, and from Kuwait got into Iraq. Once we got there, man, the first day we got there, we heard, incoming! And nothing but mortars coming in, and we found bunkers and all those things. But now I'm seeing like smoke, dust, rock here, and explosions going out. And I'm like, oh shit, this is for real. Like, this is what real war is like day one. And it was definitely eye-opening. And the first sign that I saw when I got to Iraq, it said complacency kills. Big sign that says that at the front gate. When you get on the fob, complacency kills. So if you get caught slipping, if you mess up or not paying attention, you could die here. And I never wanted to be a casualty of war or anything like that, God forbid. So you just always had to like keep your head on the swivel and always be prepared, man.
Complacency kills. That is fucking life right there. Do you carry that? Carry that to this day?
I do, man. I talk about that within my speech whenever I speak to founders, CEOs, or just general audiences, man. you know, that concept could be applied to you as a leader, you as a business owner, you as an employee, you know, you as just a general human being. You know, if you get complacent with your health, your job, your family, you name it, man, you just stay stagnant and you never continuously grow. You never continuously get better in regards to achieving like your purpose and your God-given mission that you're set out here on this earth and things to do, man.
A lot of people don't know where to start, though. Like, Michael, I hear you, man. I want to grow. But there's so much shit out there, right? Like, do I read books? And which books do I even read? Like, there's thousands of books that everyone's always like, oh, you got to read, you know, 48 Laws of Power. Or you got to read Atomic Habits. And like, and then I read the book and my life hasn't changed. So what the fuck, Michael? Nothing's working, man. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Well, that's where I come in at, and I can help coach you, bro. You know, that was for me, you know. So when I was in Tampa, I was going on my second divorce. And then that literally brought me to the brinks of taking my life in Tampa, Florida. And got my gun, got drunk as hell, and literally was going to take my life. You know, for me, my conversation with God was, I'm not going to do this. And you have a purpose and you have a mission here. And you have a son, you have a family, right? You have friends that lost their lives and that died for you, died for this country, and you cannot do something like this. And in that moment, I changed my life, man. And I said, what am I going to do to fix all these things and right my wrongs for some of the things that I was doing some crazy things, man. And I had to really, really fix some things that I was doing. So all the stuff that I'm about to tell you is within my coaching program now. So like I told you, man, I assess three things: decision, direction, and destination. So I looked at all of the decisions that I was making and the path that it was leading to. It led me to suicide, led me to drinking, led me to being on 13 different medications. It led me to doing a whole bunch of things that I should not have been involved with, surrounding myself with the wrong people and all of those different types of things. And now it was time to like look at the right decisions that I need to start making. So that's me sitting down and get honest, brutally honest with myself of all of the things that I need to work on and need to fix. So what that looked like for me was I took myself to Rush University. And I think mental health goes deeper than what the word mental health just says, if it just is a glaring word and things like that. But it's really tied to like what's really going on up inside of my head to bring me to the point of like not wanting to be here anymore, not caring about my family or any of those other things that I've been blessed to have. So I went to Rush University and I put myself through an intensive treatment to understand what was going on with my brain, what was going on for my makeup or some of the things that I was dealing with. I got blown up, right? I have a hole in my brain. So I need to understand what's going on with a traumatic brain injury. So some of the things that's tied to like your neuro-linguistic programming of like what's going on with your brain, man. And then understanding that and learning some things that's tied to my childhood trauma, some things that's tied to my military trauma, and some things that I was not addressing or some things that I was not even dealing with. I doubled down on that. And then I went to Emory Hospital. Excuse me. And Emory Hospital takes you through reliving vivid moments in your life that truly, truly traumatized you. So I went through some childhood trauma things as a kid. I went through some, obviously, what took place in Iraq. I walked around with so much guilt and thinking that that could have been me or that should have been me. What could I have done in regards to, I was 10 seconds away from those guys getting blown up. How come? What could I have done different to help save them, see the guy that was in the VBID car bomb, and all of those different things that was tied to that? Understanding some of those things, man, I this was my second divorce. So I said, you know, I was with a really good woman. I had my kids, and now I just dismantled my family. And what can I do to put that family back together? So I started surrounding myself with a men's group at my church. And lo and behold, these guys started pouring into me. And then I took from that, I said, I need to get into counseling. So I started finding the right counselors that's going to help me while I was on this journey that was understanding all the things that I was dealing with and things that I was facing and how to really like navigate through some of those things, because I couldn't do it on my own and I needed some help. And that's one of the biggest things for me, to get vulnerable and transparent and like ask for help, because I didn't really want to ask for help at that particular time. And then from there, I said, who are some pillars of people that I like, I could trust, and I could share my life with, that I could help you, I could use them to help me steer and navigate my life to the life that I really want to live. So I got some mentors. I got some coaches. Then I implemented someone spiritual within my life to help navigate me. So now, putting these different things in place, I'm meeting with these guys weekly. I'm meeting with these guys monthly. And we're going through a path. And I noticed once I started doing some of these things, my life changed. The positivity changed. The people around me changed. The energy changed. All the things that I've been praying about to God just started like showing up. My eyes started to open up. Doors started to open up. And from there, man, it just led to my transformation, man. I got back to working. I started working for the government. Then I went to work at Florida Atlantic University. Did really well. And then God was telling me, for me, it was like, you know, you're bigger than this. You need to do something else. I wrote my book, did a TEDx, launched my company, ran a franchise. And now my whole thing, man, is to create this company and help pour back into people and help deliver people to their transformation that they're looking for, man. So what really helped, man, was identifying some of the decisions, creating new decisions, identifying the direction of where I was going, and then create a new direction of where I need to go. Then the destination, right? Where I want to be at, and what are some things that are holding me back to get to that destination, man.
I think that time of being introspective is very much so needed. That journal, and then that being honest. I think that we can all say, you know, eating McDonald's every single day isn't going to align with my goal of getting leaner, right? I want to get in shape, but I'm not working out, and I eat McDonald's every day. It's like, well, do you really want to get in shape? You want the idea of getting in shape, or do you really, really want it? Because if you really want it, then you can't, then don't have McDonald's and go to the gym, right? Do these like one thing at a time, and it doesn't need to be every single day. I think that's part of where people get very discouraged. It's like, well, okay, well, Michael said I need to like change my life today. It's like, didn't you just hear like how long it took to like finally get to the point of after finally two divorces, and then okay, now I'm going to start. It's not like those weren't attempts probably in the middle of it, or they weren't thoughts along the way. You know, you had a lot of like, I don't know, maybe I'm like speaking out of turn here, but it's like, you probably thought, maybe I shouldn't be drinking all the time. Maybe I shouldn't be drinking all the time. And then finally you got to the point where you're like, oh shit, I really got to do something, because what I've been doing hasn't been working, and I've been trying. And now finally today is the day. You know, I'm finally going to make the move to be better. And yeah, it takes time, man. And it's one step, one day at a time, one step at a time.
You're absolutely right, man. I've wanted to quit and give up a lot of times, but understanding what the destination was allowed me to keep on going. Pouring into myself and seeing small wins allowed me to keep on pouring into myself, right? So when I got on that path and I got on that journey, it took me, man, close to 7 to 10 years of really navigating that, figuring that out. I went through couples counseling for 2 years to get my wife back. 2 years of couples counseling with my wife. And I went through the men's group. I went through 3 sessions with the men's group that I was with to help change my life, right? I went through 10 counselors to find the right one counselor. You know what I'm saying? I went through those 2 programs of submitting myself into somebody's program to learn all about PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, all of the things that's tied to anxiety, depression, grief, guilt, insomnia, you know, that all those things that's tied to that. And then, you know, for me, like the next journey that I'm on right now is for me to be on my health journey and nutrition journey right now, because what I don't blame or put fault to anybody or anything like that, but I know how I got in certain situations in my life, right? So for me, when I was in depressive state, when I was in a grief and guilt and all those things, it led me to drinking. to add on to some of those things as well, led to me eating. Then I got onto 13 different medications. If you ever seen someone that has a treasure chest of 13 different medication, what is, if you've seen some of these mental health medications, you don't want to get up, you don't want to work, you don't want to do anything. You just want to lay in bed and don't do crap. Some of these medications that you're being prescribed just puts weight on you, just bloat you up and all these different types of things. That's how I got into situations that I was in. And I had to work on some of these things to fix that. And that's what the path that I'm on now, you know, but it's really comes down to having that self-awareness and then, all right, this is the situation. This is what I'm dealing with. So accountability and responsibility. And then it's time to take action.
I love it. It's understanding. And I think it's finally like coming to this point, and I like it for two different, like, I think automatically we're leveling up. Like, almost, I don't know if you ever played video games growing up, but I was on the GameCube or the Game Boy, and I was playing like Pokemon, whatever. Right. But it was like Modern Warfare. You're always like, you're getting to the next level, and it takes more and more experience. But with that, it's more and more practice and more and more practice, finding the right tools. Maybe I like this specific Pokemon, or I like this one more than the other one, you know, like little, and that is how ultimately it transfers over into life. And then I also like that it's so process oriented and process focused that it makes me think, you know, we're taking the time to dissect all of these little items. And then as you continue to develop into like maybe a specific field of mental, like the general idea of mental health, but maybe the men's group, it's going to open some new doors. Like, oh shit, well, maybe I should start working out some more. Right. And you start like learning more about that. And then you start learning more about this, right? Like taking that one action is going to introduce you to a whole plethora of other items. So you never get bored, you know, it's like, it's a search to continue to develop.
I agree with you, man. You know, add to what you just said. So my thing was Streets of Rage back in the days on Sega Genesis. So I'm not sure if you can play Streets of Rage. But when I was going through these different levels or different phases, right, I got hit with someone recently challenging me. They said, hey, man, you're a phenomenal speaker. You have a great business going, and you're doing a lot of great things. And the next level for you now is to work on your nutrition, work on your physical presence and things like that. And imagine how much more captivating that your message and your story is going to be. And ever since they told me that, right? And I'm saying that based off what you just said, as when you get to different levels, different doors open up, different things come at you and things like that. And right then and there it is. That's the next thing that I need to be going after. And I've been so focused on that now, it's on a different level. So I got with John Petrelli. He's a Hollywood trainer. He's out there in he was in California. He's now in Texas, but now I've made him my accountability partner. And now he's given me his fitness program that I'm doing. In addition to that, I've got a nutritionist that I'm working with now to help me get me on the right level, because there's lots of things that was out of balance for me. And to add on to that, my wife is on board, because she's the one that's making all of the meals and things like that within our household, man. So that's a big plus for us, man.
Dude, that's awesome. I mean, congratulations. I mean, I haven't said it, but I'm thinking, like, you know, to go through all of that and to get the wife back and to take the right steps, it's not a small feat. You know, there's probably, I don't know how many stories that there are of this specific, like of you, but I know that there's a lot of stories of the guy that didn't end up figuring it out. And I know them personally. It's, they got out, they couldn't get back to, you know, civilian life, and they grew up in the military life, and it was a hard transition. And so it was easier to go back in, or like that was where safety was, and, or they just didn't, they kept that mentality of, I'm not going to deal with my mental health. And so they ruin relationships, and then they can't find businesses, or the businesses that they start aren't successful. Like it's very common. I know a lot of people that are in that same situation. So it's not a small feat. I mean, you're fighting, and you fought, and you're going to continue to fight. And It's, you know, the next jam is nutrition and fitness. And dude, I fucking, you know, I love it. You know, I think that it gives you, for me, it like sitting in the gym was always my time to be introspective. It's like, I'm going to work on this here, work on that here, take care of all these little things. And then now I'm not only am I moving better, but I'm healthier. And then now that I've figured it out and I've done the research and I've read the books, I can also now teach somebody else and say, you know, actually I can see the way your hips are moving. They're just a little bit weird. And I would, I assume that's the same thing in kind of like business coaching where you're like, I see where you, maybe your brain's at and I've been there and I've seen it, but like, maybe if we think about it just like this, with that neuro-linguistic program, if we phrase it like this, then you're going to feel better about it. And then your people are going to feel that, right? Your audience is going to feel that. So it's those little adjustments that make such a big difference that ultimately like make you level up or accelerate you so much faster, man.
I agree, man. So much of a degree could change the trajectory of like the direction of where you're going, man, just by simple tweaks and notches and things like that. I wanted to expound on something that you said, man. You know, when I said that personal development ties into like your professional development, I seriously meant that, because when you think about our veterans, right, a lot of them do not communicate, do not share a lot of things, but quite a few of them, when we make that transition, depending like if you were like at the officer level or upper echelon in regards to like your pay grade, usually that transition could be a little bit easier for you in regards to like getting a job. But for like your private, your lance corporals, your sergeants, those types of guys that's getting out and their skills are not so much transferable, right? They might work for a company, but I was speaking to another business owner at another event, and what she was telling me was that we have a lot of veterans that work for us, but the attrition rate after 3 to 4 years, maybe 5, falls off. They leave the company. And I was asking her, why is that? Or what programs or services do you have within your company to see why is this going on? And they don't have anything. But after we had the conversation and discussion, speaking from my experience and other conversations with veterans, a lot of these veterans, when they get out, they have wife issues, like you mentioned. They have alcohol issues. They have mental health issues. They have financial issues, because you'll notice that, like I mentioned before, when we're serving, the mission is the mission. So there's no training on buying a house. There's no training on your credit. There's no training on paying your bills or none of those things. So they're struggling trying to navigate some of those things. And now they step into the corporate space. And if there's no mentor, there's no coaches, there's no programs like that, eventually they fall off. Eventually that leads to their unemployment. Eventually that leads to homelessness. Eventually that leads to divorce and things like that. And that's where me and her had the conversation where our company could come in for these companies and we could help implement different programs. I have the background as a project manager and a contractor to build programs and put things in place to help catch some of these things so you can retain employees. Having a veteran work for you is probably, we show up with some of the most highest qualities and skills for an employee to work for a company, because the military has taught us a lot of those things as well. But it's some of these soft skills and some of these technical skills that could be missing as well too.
That personal development piece that keeps them being able to function well inside the work environment, be able to handle conflict, right? I don't think, I imagine handling conflict in the military is very different than handling it in the corporate space. You know, just taking a wild guess.
Shut the fuck up and get it done. That's it. No questions asked. That's it.
Yeah. I don't think that works very well. C-suite to somebody else like that. What, HR? Hey, but this guy's yelling at me, you know? It's crazy. No, man.
It's totally different. It's totally different.
Man. It makes me happy to hear, because I think there's a lot of similarities to be even in, like, I don't know if I'm going to say this out loud, and I don't know if how this is going to go, but a lot of kids coming out of college, they might have some of these technical skills, but they lack the skills that maybe that some of those military kiddos are coming into the workplace with. So They're not showing up on time. They, you know, they have this idea of, and I'm definitely sometimes I'm that guy. I get it. You know, I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I mean, we all do that. But I think that it's less likely to happen from somebody in a military space, or from a military mindset. They're going to be, you know, everything's going to be written very well. There's a certain structure to everything. Like every report's written in a very specific way. So very good at following instructions. Maybe that loyalty is definitely there. If you can get somebody to stay and you treat them well with respect, can handle conflict well traditionally. Like if as a manager, I come to I would imagine to somebody who has been in the military, like I could say, hey, like I didn't like these things. We need to make these things fit, like correct them. And that person's probably like, okay, that sounds good, right? Versus a college student who just came out, it's like, I just went to college, bro. Like, I know more than you. What are you talking about? And like, they're more likely to be a little more combative, and they lack those soft skills that are so, so important. It's like, yeah, you can have all the technical knowledge and read the book, but if you don't even show up at work on time, or if you can't do all the little shit right, then like, how much value are you really bringing? You know?
I agree, man. You know, when there's a lack of accountability and then taking ownership and being responsible, it shows the maturity, right? And I think in the business workplace, right, we're all adults, and it shows how professional that you can be, which leads to like your business acumen in that particular space. I think compared to like your veterans, like obviously we enlist for, depends on what branch it is. So it's 3 years to 4 years, right? So you're technically being trained and being molded in regards to getting ready for the business space if you ever choose to exit after 4 years, because a company does not have to train you and teach you any of those things, opposed to a college kid that you do get, right? They're just going to school and they're learning all of the book knowledge and things like that. But there's no one teaching them to show up on time, how to speak to people, how to carry yourself. Sometimes to the point of even, what are your business attires that you do need to wear? Some of the attires that you should not wear. What are some of the things that you do for networking events, to opposed to not being in a networking event, and whether you drink too much, whether you party too much, some things you might say, some things you don't say. So there's little nuances in there that could get a little dicey and could get a little bit tricky, that some veterans may have been brought to like awareness in regards to understanding some of those things, opposed to your college kid.
It's wild. Even the financial piece, and I'm saying this out loud, and obviously this isn't for everybody. Like, I'm sure that there's, like, I knew several people in college that showed up on time, that did all the right things. You know, it's not everybody. But I know that I felt like, man, I should get a job as soon as I graduate from college. Like, what the fuck? Why am I not getting hired? You know, like, isn't that the whole thing? I should be getting paid $150,000 a year as soon as I graduate from college. Like, that's what I went to college for. But that's not the reality, right? The reality is that was a point of education, and I can use this education for some long-term benefit. So long as I even, like, did I even really study? Did I cheat my way through? Like, there's a lot of kids that just, they half-ass their way through. They aren't really learning very much. So then they're going to go out into the professional world with the same technical degree that I have, but with a significant less knowledge. Maybe they have better connections than I do, and just because of that, they can get the job. But it gives you a good like frame of reference of how to network, or how to appreciate networking as well. And so if you didn't network in college, then how do I network now? I think the community inside of the military tends to be very tight knit, right? Like, so if there is a veteran owned company, other veterans are going to gravitate towards that environment. And I think it's depending on the college, it also reigns true, right? I went to Texas A&M, so a very big, community, big network. And if I see someone, or if someone else sees me with my ring on, they're like, oh shit, like, you're an Aggie. It's like, yeah, I'm an Aggie. It's like, oh wow, like let's go out for lunch, let's go out for coffee. Like, I've gotten free tickets to games before. It's like, it depends on the college, right, or the university. But it not just that, not just the student, but I'm also thinking about athletes as well. They get out of maybe their sport. They were in that sport during college. And then it's like, man, I was getting paid, especially, I mean, I can't imagine the NIL. Like, how does that change a child? Like, if they're still kids, like they're kids, like there's no understanding of like finances, really. Like, I get to party and have a bunch of girls and have nice cars. It's like, well, you got to pay taxes, brother. It's crazy.
You know, it's crazy because understanding when you transition out of the military opposed to when you transfer out or graduate from college and navigating that, if you're not networking with the right people and communicating with the right people, yeah, man, there's a barrier and there's a struggle that's going to be tied to that. But like you said, right, you have to figure out a way to come into this workspace or this workforce and create a way for you to make a living. And if you think that you're just going to come and it's just going to be easy, man, it's going to be an uphill battle. Because I was talking with my son and I was talking with one of his friends, and they're 16 years old, but they think that like as soon as they graduate, they're just going to step into some Fortune 500 company and it's just going to be that easy that they're going to get something. And I'm like, the world doesn't really work like that, bro. Yeah, it doesn't really work like that. So it's an interesting dynamic. I do agree that like I'm seeing now if a company is veteran centric, they are putting out like programs and things like that to help veterans or create a pipeline where veterans could intern, where veterans could train. And then there's a pipeline that's tied to some of these companies. I more so see that with the companies that are in Washington, D.C., that are set up for like government contracting. They're set up for like cybersecurity. They're set up in like the space that are serving the military community back again. So it could be around the weapons. It could be around the intel space. It could be around, like I said, cybersecurity. But opposed to that, if you're a veteran and you're some other part of this world, it could be a struggle.
Yeah. I think I remember looking, I went to one like distillery several years ago and they only hired veterans. I remember what the distillery was. I think it was maybe, I don't know if it was Balcones, but by any means, I think little things like that are just like, hey, not only are you going to be around people in, like that have also shared some experiences or yeah, can understand and relate a little bit better, but we're also going to be doing good, something good for the community, something that I'm contributing towards. I'm learning maybe like how do I show up on schedule in this job versus in the civilian world or in the military lifestyle. So and little things like that, I think go a large way. But for those that are apparently looking at, you know, if you're in the military and looking or getting out of the military and listening, then, you know, you can listen, go look around Washington, D.C. Apparently there's some good gigs out there.
You know what? I have seen an uptick when it comes to the entrepreneur space for veterans around the brewery industry, and a good bit of veterans as well too are now into the speaking space, and a good bit of veterans I see are in the cybersecurity or the DOD space where there's like guns, ammunition that they're providing back to the government. You know, If a lot of veterans knew how to apply their transferable skills and become entrepreneurs, they'll be surprised, you know, and I never thought that, because I thought that when I got out of the service that I needed to step straight into employment or working for someone. But there's so many opportunities out here now for veterans where you could actually start your own business. There's programs that's teaching you how to become an entrepreneur, just like how we have here with our business development program. That's teaching you more things than a normal college would teach you to actually start a business. And one of the greatest talking pieces for a veteran, for you to even work with other people, is stating that you are a veteran, because they're going to know you. They're going to trust you. They know that you're dependable. They know that you're reliable. And they know that you come with a good set of credibility. And more so, they tend to believe that you will get the job done and do the work.
That's for sure. That is for sure. I do also have maybe this is unfortunate, but like the stigma of not dealing with the personal side I think I veer more towards someone who's been out of the military for an extended period of time, because mm-hmm. that tells me like you've probably like done some personal work on yourself and kind of like had to fall down a couple times and figure it out. So I think you talking about like, hey, this is a, is like, don't wait 20 years. Don't wait 5 years, you know, like as soon as you get out, like let's start now. Right. Because it's going to bleed and other people, like there is a stigma that exists and that's an unfortunate stigma, but it's there. And so how can we be the change we want to see? It's taking that initiative now and saying, no, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm going to be the person that doesn't revert to all those things, but I deal with my stuff now.
Ben, you just hit it right there, man. That's why I'm a big advocate for veterans to be entrepreneurs. That's why I did my TED talk around the mental health, the homelessness, and the unemployment for veterans. If I knew what I knew, I would have started a business in 2007. Whenever I've seen like ideas of businesses over the past 20 some years, I'm like, I could have created that. I could have done that. Or some of these things that you see are repeat cycles of things, right? And what veterans sometimes don't even realize is, and this is what I was saying, like the veterans are not given that tutelage in regards to understanding all of their benefits and things that they could do. I think about, all right, well, I'm a veteran. So to get some of these government contracts or to get into some of these spaces, I could get the disabled veteran certification. I could get the minority-owned vacation certifications, the service disabled certifications. You could get homestead things for just being a veteran or with a Purple Heart or something like that. And right now, if a veteran wanted to go out and get his own house, there's no down payment on certain types of VA home loans that's out there that veterans are not even aware of. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying to myself, why are veterans not utilizing some of these things? When it comes to times to get government contracts, you have an upper hand when it comes to like preference to land some of these contracts that you could serve back to the military or serve to other entities. So when you try, you could literally get back into the government space, but now more so you're a supplier. You're now a vendor serving the same entity that you was just in, but now they're paying you probably even triple the money that you was even making.
A hell of a lot more lucrative. A hell of a lot more lucrative.
But no one is not introducing that concept or that conversation to our veterans. So the veterans think that I should just go into the pipeline of the workforce. I'm not saying nothing's wrong with the workforce, but someone has not even enlightened a veteran that like, hey, you could actually do this. But I think that's what I said to you as well, too, when we first started this conversation. The veteran normally operate a lot of out of humility. And we don't brag on ourselves. We don't brag on our capabilities and all of these different types of things that we are fully capable of doing. And or in addition to that, one of the biggest things that I know from veterans, we're flexible, we're adaptable, we figure things out. We know how to operate as a team, and we can find other people to get to do things with us too as well. And that's one of the biggest things that I think that is missing.
I'm gonna let that sink in there for a moment. Just let it sit. Let it sit. You can go back and replay that. You know, go back and replay that. It. I don't know, man. It makes me just. I don't know. It makes me excited that you're talking about it because it's not their fault, right? It's just a lack of knowledge, and a lack of education. And again, it's not the fault of the veteran, right? They spent some time doing a job. And then they come out and then there's so much information and it's like, I assume there's like some sort of pressure to like, hurry up, get started, go. Like you're civilian. Let's go. It's like, yo, like what the fuck? Like, what do I do? Like, where do I start? You know? And if you just have the information of, oh, I can actually apply for these things and I can get a house. And, I sold homes for a while and I would have people come in and it's like, yeah, I'm using my VA loan and like, I'm doing nothing down. Like, good for you, you know, like that's awesome. And if not, then I made sure that I had a mortgage loan lender that was fluent in that space. Like, oh, or I have a realtor who's fluent. Like, you probably have better connections than I do. Go talk to that realtor and then you can come back to me, you know? And if I'm not the best fit for you at the end of the day, I'm not your best fit, but it's your home and it's your life. And so I think there's a lot of people in the community that are there to support. I just don't think that all of them understand how to support because they just don't have the information themselves. But then when you find someone that does and they're truly trying to help, like learning to accept that help is the second half of that, right? I can provide you all that information, but if you're still like, I don't know, this guy, I just don't trust it. Like, he's just trying to sell me something. I don't know. Then, okay. But at the end of the day, you're the one that loses. And that's sad. I mean, I think both parties lose. Like, I could have helped somebody and then you could have been helped. Like, we could have done something together that would have benefited you and benefited me. That's a win-win, man.
Man, I 1,000% agree, man. I, as you were saying that, I'm thinking about all of the things or resources that has came across my way, but it took a while to navigate some of these things, right? So I used my GI Bill a couple of years when I got out, and that paid for my bachelor's degree and my master's degree. Actually, my master's degree ran out of the GI Bill. So being a Purple Heart recipient, I was able to get my master's degree, the other portion of it paid and covered from just having that medal. That was one aspect of things. The other part of it was being a Purple Heart recipient. I got my first house. I used my VA home loan and then we sold it. And then my second house, I got that one for free because I was a Purple Heart recipient. And then the house that we live in now, we got the homestead exemption because of being a Purple Heart recipient. There's so many benefits that veterans are not aware of that you got to learn how to leverage some of those things, right? Then if you're a veteran, if you don't even want to use your GI Bill, you could give that to your kids. You could give that to your wife if you want to send them to school. And that's some things that you could pass on. Some of the things that we don't know, veterans, you could get your VA allowances, right? That's where if you have disabilities and different things like that, the VA is paying you for that. If you're going for your medical appointments, the VA will start paying you for your travels and things like that, your tolls and all those different types of fees that's attached to some of those things. Veterans are not aware of that, right? If you want to get community care, if you don't want to deal with the VA hospital, now you can start requesting to get community care, or you start doing things around the telehealth space. And now what I learned recently, so before there was a cap on for the VA veterans when it was time to get a house. But now I think they took the cap off, if I'm not mistaken. So now a veteran could actually go out and buy $1 million house and now taking that cap off. So now with all of these different programs that's out there for the veterans, man, you could leverage that. And I say that as in you could buy these houses and you could make it your primary house, or you could decide to do some of the things that you want to do with it. Once you understand the real estate game, you could probably speak more to that, being in the real estate space as well. But I just think that there's so much different opportunities. And now these nonprofits that just came up, they got tired of the VA system or the help that they was providing for veterans. So now that's why you see your Semper Fi, your Wounded Warrior projects. And now they're creating these programs, they're creating these different resources, the mental health resources and things like that to help veterans and give them all of this information because they saw the gap that veterans were missing out. But they can only help so many.
I have a question, kind of changing gears a little bit.
Let's do it, man.
The MBA. I'm applying right now, but I've continuously contemplated how much value am I going to get from this degree. I have people that are like, man, it's the best thing. And then I have other people who have been very successful in the C-suite space and in entrepreneurial space that have never had any sort of, you know, formal business education. So how much value do you think that kind of education brings? And yeah, I guess that's my question. How much value do you think it brings?
I'll say this. I will not put any no value to having an MBA. I will say it as an entrepreneur, taking that information at that particular moment to put into my business a couple years ago was helpful. Now, I would not say that it's valuable in 2024 based off where we are in business, as technology has, AI was not talked about in business school in 2014, right? So none of that stuff that you learn does really apply, right? So in regards to like today's day and age, I would not say that it applies so much. What I will say is this, having an MBA when you're in the employee mindset, I think is helpful as it helps with your bank account. So when I got the job at Florida Atlantic University, if I would have came in there with a bachelor's degree or if I came in with an associate's degree, I probably would have started off at lower tier or something like that. But having a master's degree, it put an extra $10,000 in my bank account. That's the bonus of having the master's degree and things like that, because it lends towards like your credibility and all of the work that you've done and put in to understand being in such a like a business mindset or mind state. But as an entrepreneur, I would not say that it's more so it was very, very helpful as an entrepreneur. Understanding like frameworks, concepts, strategies and things like that, some of those things are still applicable. But as you could probably do your research now. Most entrepreneurs, millionaires, never went to college. So yeah. You don't have to be some whiz kid. You don't have to be some genius or something like that. You just need to figure it out what you want to create, have people that's willing to pay you for what you're going to exchange with them, and do it a lot of times to start generating the money that you want, create the life that you want, and things like that. So I'm not going to knock having an MBA, but I just think it just depends where you're trying to go with it. You got to have a decision, direction, and destination. Does the MBA make sense to my destination? If it doesn't, I wouldn't say that, or I wouldn't recommend it. If you think it will, then if it's going to benefit you, I've seen some people do it just for their kids, right? So to show their kids, you need to get education. When I came from Jamaica, that was the biggest thing that was taught in my household. You got to get an education. You got to get a good job. So it was always ingrained in my mind that I need to get an education. I need to go to college if you want to make something of yourself here in America. So it just depends what your household was talking about and what are some of your personal goals that's tied to why you're trying to get an MBA.
It's good. It's good. I think that formal education seems to be a less and less trusted entity. People are finding so much value on YouTube, on TikTok, on Instagram, on just the internet, just scholar.dogoogle.com, or just Googling and finding people that you can learn from and collaborate with. So it seems like it's dying.
You're so right, because there are people out there that talks about the school system as it's just a money pit. It's creating debt for you, right? It's creating all of these problems. It's wasting 4 years of your life, is what some people might say as well too. And I 1,000% agree with you. If you want to go to college, and if you just want to get into the marketing space, you can sign up for a marketing program. You could take an internship with someone. You could go to YouTube. You could sign up for a personal development program. You could sign up for a business development program to fix some of these areas in your life and not go into six-figure debt. And you could answer some of those problems. There's different courses out here. We could just get different certifications that some of these companies are looking for or these businesses are looking for. So I agree with you, man. The age of AI has has changed a whole bunch of things, where accurate AI information could give you so much information, could answer so many questions. And it's going to challenge a lot of things that's within the school system, because now if a kid was given 2 weeks to write a paper, they're probably writing it in 2 minutes.
Seriously, they're not writing shit.
and then when you look at some things, right, I've also seen it where now kids are challenging what's inside of a book. How true is this information that's within this book, right? And they're saying, is this applicable or is it not? So I have not looked at a school book in several years, so I don't know, you know, if it's applicable now in 2024. Hopefully they're updating school books and things like that. But for me, man, at that particular moment, at that particular time, I was working, right? So I wanted more advancement in my life. I wanted more advancement in my career. I never thought of entrepreneurship when I was working for the government or when I was working at a university.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm like, man, I just, you know, maybe it would give me the foundational skills that I would need to, you know, grow as an entrepreneur. And I what's his name? Let's say Kevin Hart, right? He signed a deal with Cellucor or Nutribolt. Huge fucking deal. And guess what? Homie doesn't have an MBA, right? Mm-hmm. We can look at these like very large Joe Rogan. No MBA. No, I don't even know if he went to college, right? And you're signing these $100 million deals with no real like formal education, then like why get it, right? Unless, again, it's really for me. So I'm kind of thinking out loud here a little bit.
I've never been a part of a business meeting where an MBA came up. I've never been a part of any meeting or anything where a bachelor's degree came up. Not one time.
No, outside of like a connection to the university, it's like, oh, I went to A&M. Oh, I went to A&M too. Right. But like outside of that, in an actual meeting, never have I like.
Oh, where'd you get your master's? What you've done, what your company is doing, what your company, how can your company help me, and those types of things. It's really talking about like your experience. Now, if something happened in college from that experience that ties into something, great, but just the MBA or the bachelor's of this, bachelor's of that, whatever, never been a part of a conversation.
I kind of want a PhD just for myself a little bit, not gonna lie. I know we're talking about like it dying and whatever, but I don't know, there's something about like getting a part of it for me was I always thought that I could never do that, right? It was like, oh, that's for them. That's for the other. That's not me. I'm not educated, and two, I'm from a small town in South Texas. I'm a little Hispanic boy around a bunch of, like privileged white kids, but at the same time, also just people that have like come from like high net worth families, not just white kids. I you know, they get a lot of flack, but like it's, for me, it's like, no, it's to go back home and say, no, you really can do anything you want. It's not like I just wanted to. So I did, because not a lot of people, I think, from the Valley really ever thought that, or they weren't like comfortable thinking that. And so I've almost wanted to make it a mission to be like, no, like you really, it doesn't matter where you come from. You have, if you want to do it for you, then the access is there. You have the knowledge for it. You have the connections for it. It's just not, I mean, you got to create them, right? They're not just going to pop up. You just got to, yeah, you got to send some emails. You got to make some calls. You got, you know, you got to do the work, but the opportunity is not off the table just because you're from a small town or just because, you know, you're black or you're Mexican or you're brown. Like the opportunity is there. You got to fucking make it.
Yeah, I think we all are given the choices and opportunities, man. We just got to take advantage of it. Every single day we get choices and opportunities. It's just what you do with it. I think it's tremendously commendable, man, if that's going after a PhD. You know, I see where, you know, it helps with credibility depending on the rooms that you're trying to get into and things that you're trying to do. It eliminates a lot of questions when you're trying to do certain things and get certain things, right? So if you're someone that's trying to start a certain type of business, if you're trying to get a certain type of speaking engagement, if you're trying to work with certain types of people, right, it's going to be recognized that, all right, well, this person, if they've shown that they have a PhD, you're going to show to the person that you're trying to do business with or something like that, that you've put in that work already. So they kind of understand the level or degree of things that you've been through in your life and stuff like that. Kind of like, I leveraged the term veteran. I leveraged the term Purple Heart. I leveraged the term I served in combat because I know what it does whenever I'm trying to do something. I know that, right? I leveraged the term that I ran a franchise and that we made Inc. 5000. I leveraged the fact that I worked with veterans at a university. So like those are things that you have to learn, know how to use all of these different nuances based off what you're trying to do. Destination, man.
That's the beauty. That's the beauty of business right there. Like that, yeah. That is, I like the conversation that people don't have is the leverage. And it makes me excited listening to it because you are being very candid and I appreciate that very much. Cause I think that on the front end, people look at a business and they're like, oh, like, I think they maybe people feel like, oh, they're just saying that. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I'm saying it, but it's also my life. Like, I'm not bullshitting you. It's what I did. It's my existence. I leverage the fact that I competed for Team USA. Like, if you're going to come to me and you want to be, you know, you want to be strong, well, shit, I know how to get you strong. I've trained all American athletes. I've, you know, done presentations at the United States Olympic Committee. Again, because I know what that does. And I think it's almost shamed at times. If you're not in the business world, if you're not an entrepreneur, it's like, okay, dog, like stop talking about yourself. It's like, okay, like, I'm sorry that it makes you feel less than, but this is what I've done. Yeah, this is what I've done. So like it's not like my dig on you. It's just this is my background and it maybe it forces you to step up, level up, right? If I'm over here leveling up.
If anyone ever shuns on another person, it shows a level of insecurities and things like that. I had a conversation on my podcast yesterday with another guy and we're talking about whenever you're working with someone or you see someone, how do you look at it? Do you look at, I'm trying to get to that next level? Or are you looking at it that I could do better than that person? Or are you looking at it, I could learn from this person? And what is your approach? Because that'll show what's in your heart. That'll show what's in your mind. And it's surprising. So for me, kind of like what you're just saying. So like, if I knew Ben is a weightlifter or a bodybuilder or something like that, and I'm trying to get in shape, I'm going to come and talk to you. Like, bro, I need some help. I'm not going to sit up here like, oh, you're too buff or you're too big, so I don't want to be around you or nothing like that. That's crazy. You know what I mean? So that's where like humility comes in me. Like, I think we're all blessed and gifted in our own right with every single thing that we have and that's giving to us. And you particularly have went through your path and your road to lead you to what you could do that lends to your strength and capabilities and stuff like that to help people, right? I didn't ask to go to Iraq. I didn't ask to get blown up. I didn't ask any of those things, but it did happen to me. I can't change any of those things, right? So what am I going to do? Not talk about it? That's what I did for several years of my life. It brought me to the road of misery. And now I'm talking about it. And now people are coming up to me like, yo, you're changing my life. You're helping me help other people and things like that. It was for a purpose. It was definitely for a purpose, man.
I think remembering that, you know, and also it's if we catch ourselves ever thinking like, oh, like boo on them because they got that. You can reprogram that inside your head. If you can catch it in the moment, like, whoa, why am I jealous of that person? Oh shit. Well, they have something, they have the body that I want, or they have the money that I want. Okay. Well, if they've done it, they must know some stuff. What can I learn? Like, and maybe not all the time that person's willing to teach, right? Maybe all of those people aren't always good teachers. Sometimes it's like, dude, I just got fucking lucky. I don't know, bro. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to tell you, but like, I think more often than not, it's like, I got lucky, but this is who I talked to, or this is where I found knowledge. And then that is, it's a little golden nugget that you can take and say, okay, well, I'm going to go to YouTube and see, they talked about, business development, you know, YouTube or Google business development coach or business development near me. Right. And like what it'll feed you is it's all the information right there. Everything's right there. And so like you just got that one little nugget from someone that didn't quote unquote know anything, but they gave you something that can change the trajectory of your life in just a small question.
I Ben, you're so right, man. I always stay in a learner's mode. Even when I'm teaching people, I stay in a learner's mode. Like I could even learn from students too as well. But what I did, like you're saying, like different nuggets, right? So our Rush program in Chicago, Emory program, men's group. I took myself to Scotland to learn some things around physical and mental strength and agility and things like that. You see all these books back here? These were some of my mentors and coaches, right? You see some of the podcasts that I listen to? Those are the mentors and coaches. Whenever I, I'm in the gym, I'm listening to different types of podcasts and different books while I'm in the gym on Audible. I went to University of Florida, the Veterans Entrepreneur Program, because I wanted to learn more about business. I signed up for a program here in South Florida called the JULO Business Growth Program because I wanted to become a better business owner. So like I'm continuously pushing myself, challenging myself to continuously learn because I don't know it all. And this day and age, if you're not part of the AI technology, you're going to get left behind. I needed to get into that space to learn that in business and learn it just in life. So continues to evolve and seeking knowledge and seeking help. I'm going to go to the people that already is doing it so I could continue to get better. I'm never going to sit up here and say something negative about a person or hate on somebody when I know that there's always a bits and pieces or things like that that I could always continuously learn from, man.
Even if what's if it's what's not what it, not to do, you know, even if it's what not to do.
That's true too.
Like, man, that guy really treats his employees like shit. Well, hey, I know I'm not going to do that. You know, like I think we've all had that boss or that manager or that person. It's like, man, that guy's just mean. Like he's always on my ass. Like he's micromanaged me. Like he doesn't let me actually do the job I'm hired for. Whenever I'm in that role, I don't want to be that guy, right? I don't want to be that girl, right? I'm going to step up and I'm not going to be that person. I'm going to be the change I want to see.
I agree. Now you speak in my language when it comes to leadership, man. I've had bad leaders, right? So I've been in companies where I did not like the leadership. And, you know, you could do a couple of things about that. You could either stay there, learn from that leadership to know, like you just said, to learn what not to do when you become a manager, when you become a supervisor, those types of things, and lead different. Or you could take some of those same things too. When you start your own company, what type of boss will you be? And some of the times what I've learned is you could sometimes could just have conversation with people to understand why do they lead the way they lead? Because what I've found is it's different circumstances in their life or how they were treated before in regards to why they do some things that they do. And you'll be surprised having some of those conversations in regards to talking to them about changing some things and see if they're willing and willing to be accepting ideas, thoughts, and feedbacks around some of those things that you may not like as well, too.
How often are they receptive? I've never had the conversation. I've been on the receiving end of bad leadership, but I've never felt like I could ever like say something to them. It's like, oh, they're like, I could say something, but they're not going to listen. Like, I'm still in their eyes a subordinate, right? They're not listening to me. They're in their own space. And when I do bring conflicts, like, hey, I really didn't like this, or like, hey, I think we should make these changes. I think we'd be productive for the company. And then it's when it's faced with some, like negative remarks or just a clear disregard for the commentary itself, or there's lack of follow through, all these things that just like, okay, then you're making me less and less motivated to want to continue to pour into this company. We all have the same mission here of making the company function well and make money. Like that's everybody's ultimate goal here and have a good lifestyle. So how often is that like as a subordinate or as somebody who's the employee, maybe under that person and maybe even saying like the subordinate, it's not being the subordinate, it's being a peer or just, you know, in my position or in my current role, going to that manager and saying, hey, like, I don't like this. How often is that received well?
That's a great question, bro. So early in my career, I was working with another manager and we used to sit down and we used to be collaborative and it was inclusive in regards to like feedback and things that could be done, changed, or done a little bit better. And that was received very well. And that what I really liked about that was sharing that information with that manager. He helped share the credit in regards to like my, because I guess for me, I'm a problem solver, creative thinker type of person. So I always have ideas. I always have different concepts of trying different things. And that led to tremendous success when I was working on the railroad from the story that I'm sharing. I got promoted. I increased some revenue things for the railroad and increased some of the things around productivity and things for the employee. So that was one scenario there. I've been quite a few, but I'm just going to share another one with you. Another one where it went bad was I noticed a problem at a particular place. I'm not going to say where it was. And I brought it to someone that was above me. And the person said that I report up, I don't report down.
Damn.
And I was like, wow. And I thought I had a better relationship with this person. And ever since then, I was not the same employee. And right then and there, it told me the writing was on the wall. And lo and behold, I figured out a way and I left that job in 3 months. That's what bad leadership could do to an employee.
That gives me chills. That is that fast.
Yeah.
It is it makes me appreciate good leadership and wanting to be a good leader. And then you see the effects in the business of that leadership. If I'm running a job and I put two people side by side, I used to manage projects. So I was building homes, and then I had somebody next to me that had 20 years of experience, but every single day he's yelling, he's on the phone. Where the fuck are you? Why aren't you at the job site? I can't believe it's like, I'm already here. I'm already done. I've already left. Oh, well, why the fuck did you tell me? And like, yo, man, like, and then that same,
that's a micromanager. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, 100%. And then that same person comes into my job site. It's like, dude, I talked to what's his name the other day, and I don't know what's going on. It's like, okay, man, like, sounds good. Well, like, what do you need from me? How can I help? This is what I got. Okay, sounds good. Let's move on. Right. And like, just, I'm here. Like, I might be the leader of the project, but I'm here to make sure that you can do your job smoothly. That's mm-hmm. my job. And so, like, just tell me what you need, man. It's open. And there's no one ever wins from yelling. Like, I don't think anyone ever wins. We're not children, you know?
No.
Like, I just don't, it doesn't, it's not in the workplace.
That's what I was saying. When we're all adults and we're all professionals, and if you think you're going to come into a workspace where it's supposed to be inclusive and you're going to create this division, then things are going to start diverting. And people are not going to listen. People are not going to adhere. People are going to find ways to get out of something, leave something when they feel like they're not being heard, they're not being listened, and they're no longer part of whatever the vision of the company is, the mission of the company, because they don't believe in that stuff no more. And once you lose people, it's hard to win them back. I don't care how much money you pour into people, that money will get stagnant, because you'll find if you even give people raises, most people either live out of their means, or if you give people more money, they start spending money in different places. So like that's their personal life. It doesn't. And then it pours back into the job to the part where they become disgruntled, don't care about the job anymore. Will work half ass while they're doing the job. So it'll never form into what you wanted your company to be because of your leadership style, your leadership capabilities and things like that. Until you as the leader work on yourself, your personal development, or righting your wrongs, whether you might have to go back to your employees and apologize. That might change things, maybe. But if you don't decide to do some of those things and you just stay the way you are, you'll find quickly there's going to be a revolving door within your firm.
So then how do you, okay, so one, it's recognizing that that's what's going on. Now, how do you course correct? Where do you start?
I think to course correct and right your wrongs, if you've done something wrong as a leader within your company, is to acknowledge it. Now, what you could find out is whether if your entire office, firm, building, employees think a certain way of you, you might want to come out publicly within your company and address that issue. If it's just with one employee, that's one-on-one type of scenario that you deal with. You fix it, you apologize, and you learn from there. You as the person that if you're in the wrong, that means you need to work on your personal development too as well. So you need to get some coaching. You need to get some training to work on yourself so you can become a better leader. And you acknowledge that within your team to do some of those things, to even to the point or bringing in a trainer within your company to work on the leadership, to work on the culture within your company to fix some of these things. Because if you don't create that atmosphere, it's never going to be the same and it's never going to be good. And that's when employees go out to lunch. There's two conversations that employees could have about the job. Man, this is one of the best places that I work at. Oh, this boss is crappy. He's this, he's that. He's always showing up late. Because if you're leading by poor example, best believe they're talking about you being a poor boss and a poor leader as well too. So you as the leader has to come to the point of self-awareness and self-personal development to work on some of those things so you could fix yourself first so you could pour back into people. If your cup is empty, man, you can't pour into other people within your company as well too, because they're not even going to listen to it.
It makes me feel so good when I wake up early or wake. I'm not really an early riser, to be honest. I like to set my meetings like starting at 11. That's really my ideal time. So like early for me is like 8, right? Like relative. But if I get to wake up early, I like got a full night's rest, got to sleep, and then I, you know, got my workout in, or I got my, you know, I got my drink, my water. I usually take a couple of vitamins in the morning. I've got all my morning routines completed. And then the first person I get to talk to in the day feels that makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. Right? If I can show up to that meeting and say, you know, I did all these things today and I'm already rolling. And then the people around me feel that energy. They're going to go into their next meetings or into their next project feeling that same way, right? I get to control that environment around me. And that's probably one of the most beautiful things that I absolutely love about taking care of myself. Because then you see that person at lunch, you're like, hey, what's up, Steve? Like, how are you doing, man? Or like, what's up, Michael? Like, how, like, what you got going on for lunch, man? And it's like, shit, man, this guy's always on. Like, he just don't miss. Like, how is he still going? It's already like he's been up earlier than me. What the fuck? And it's like you want to go get some lunch? Like, dude, I love this ramen spot. Like, I love this ramen. It's like, I'm not really a ramen guy. It's like, okay, well, like, what do you want? Right? It's like that energy that people are just like, man, I want to fucking be around that like all day. Like, okay, like, and then hey, Michael, do you mind like redoing that form real quick because we just missed a couple items on there? Yeah, for sure. Okay, sounds great. You know, like that's what that does.
Yo, man, I love your process right there. And it's so amazing that it's a reciprocated energy. So you see all those things that I told you earlier. So counseling, mentors, accountability partners, all of those different things, and incorporating working out for myself. So to add on top of that, so for me, I'm up in the morning, I'm in the gym, I'm meditating, I read the Bible, I read my Bible chapters, and I read my word of the day, and then I'm meditating on gratitude for like 20 minutes of just like being super thankful for things. And what I was going to say to you about energy is, my wife, every single morning, she was like, how the hell do you wake up like that, yo? she was like, you must be a morning person, man. But like, I'm up, bro, and like, I'm ready to go. I'm pumped up and I'm energized. And I just think that I'm so in a better mindset, better mind space. So like, now I feel like I'm at my optimal, man. Like, I'm pumped up, ready to go. And it's just like how you were saying, man. It's so infatuate when you pour it into other people, how energy is reciprocated, that they give the same thing back to you, man. So I love it, bro.
I do. And then like, you only really need a small team at that point, right? And you grow at the pace that you, like, whatever you're providing is meeting Absolutely. The standard like of expectations that you want, right? So like, my standard is, you know, the highest possible standard we can have. If we're going to write something on letterhead, everything's going to be dotted correctly. We're going to have the right periods, the right commas, grammar's going to be perfect, no misspellings, everything's going to be in the right spot. That kind of that energy is inside of every single project. So if there's a mistake, then we acknowledge that mistake and we correct, right? Like, it is such, and then at the end of the day, you it's such a good feeling to walk away and be like, man, like I was able to provide so much value to the people in front of me that, you know, I get to sell this house with an impeccable form, right? It looks like the grass was, I fucking made sure that grass looked good, you know, like whatever it is, but like, and then like that, and that maybe people don't ever notice it, but they, that one comment, that one time, it's like, man, why does like y'all's grass is really nice. It's like, fuck yeah, it is, you know how long it took me to fucking do that? Like, but it's so gratifying, you know, even if they never know it, I know at the end of the day, like me and my team, as small as we are, as large as we are, we did all the little things right.
How you do anything is how you do everything. And you as a business owner, whenever you create these types of standards, right, and you hold other people accountable to those types of things, you'll be surprised as a good leader, like you just mentioned, people make sure they adhere to that. If you are a bad leader, you think they would care about that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They would take shortcuts. They would take shortcuts. They would find different hacks how to get out of something and not do something. But just because they have that commitment and you have that high level of expectations for them, they make sure to adhere to those types of things for you. That tells you a lot about yourself as a leader too, man.
I love it. This makes me feel so good. It really does. It's refreshing. It's, you know, having these conversations is becoming more and more normal. Just feels good, you know. And at once upon a time, I never thought I'd be in this, you know, in this situation. But like after this amount of time and all the time that it took to finally, I think we all fuck up. Like I've definitely made mistakes where I went to the gym and I was like, man, I can just, you know, I don't really need to eat all that much, or I can like lack on my water, or I can lack on my sleep, and I can show up and kill it. And then it's like, man, bench is really hard today. It's like, yeah, I wonder why, right? You didn't take care of the little things. And so why do you think you're going to show up today and perform on the big thing? You're not.
Yeah.
There's no way. So the more that, you know, this ball keeps on rolling, you have this energy in our days or in our lives, it really perpetuates into the rest of our life. So I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you very much.
Absolutely, man. Thank you, man.
Well, Michael, give us some plugs, man. Where can people find you?
Well, you can find my website, my speaking engagement website at www.michaelwallison.com. For the University Academy, you want to learn all about our programs or our upcoming events, man, you can go to www.theadversityacademy.com. If you want to send me a personal email, it's mallison@theadversityacademy.com. And on all social media, I am Michael W. Allison.
Beautiful. And we'll include the links here in the description on if you're watching, if you're listening on Spotify, it'll be on Spotify. If you got the email, then it's on the email. And then if you it'll be here on YouTube as well. So thank you guys very much for tuning in. I hope you guys got as much value as I did. I absolutely love this. It makes me feel good. I'm excited for my next meeting. I hope you guys are too, or enjoying your workout, whatever it is that you're doing while you're listening or watching. Michael, again, thank you very much, sir. And make sure you guys go share, like, subscribe, do all the right things. Come on, let's go.
It's been a pleasure, Ben. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Cheers. Love y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Ben Navarro's podcast. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, and all other major podcast hosting platforms. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes.